Welcome to More Than Miles, a podcast created to look deep into what it means to be a runner and endurance athlete. Our episodes are filled with real stories from real runners, elite to the everyday athlete. We bring together healthcare providers, athletes, and dive deep into topics that matter most to runners. I'm Dr. Kate Mihevic-Edwards, physical therapist, author, athlete, and complete coffee addict.
And I'm Dr. Casey Sinders, physical therapist, athlete, and pun expert extraordinaire. We're so passionate about changing running culture to improve the health, wellness, and fulfillment of our endurance athlete community. And we hope that these conversations inspire you to focus on putting your health first so that performance and PRs can follow. Now let's get to the show.
Casey was supposed to be at her house doing the podcast, but her whole internet on the street went down. And so she rushed over to the office.
Oh my God.
It's true. Yep. All the lights were out.
From wind?
I'm assuming it's Atlanta. So I'm assuming someone hit something and just like took out the power of the entire
block. Bad drivers in Atlanta. This is what you're telling me.
Potholes, bad drivers, and chicken wings, man. It is not a joke. It's the real deal.
Why are the potholes so bad?
Well, there's the potholes, and then there's our solution to potholes, which is putting a metal plate over the pothole instead of fixing the pothole.
Like a nice Band-Aid. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just put that sucker over there. We are good to go for another couple of years.
I used to live in San Francisco. This is like not the topic of this podcast, but no, I used to live in San Francisco and there's a big pothole epidemic there as well. And I learned all about potholes and how it's like vastly, because I was like, well, you guys don't have snow here. Like potholes in the Northeast are usually from like snow plows. But in San Francisco, it's from all of the water that runs underneath the road and it takes the road out from underneath. So fascinating. So should we talk about city planning next? Or
I think we could solve all the problems.
A little bit about running. So those of you that are joining us now, we're talking to Laura Green today, and we've already been shooting the shit for a little while, but so now you can join us on our adventure, and we're going to talk about running instead of potholes.
Yes, more interesting. It's more interesting.
The first thing we do like to ask everybody is what your running story is. How did you get started in the sport, and just kind of tell us your history with running?
Yeah, I'll give you a shortest version. I mean, it's been like my whole life. So I genuinely cannot relate to the people who are my age who are like, I'm going to run a 5K this year, my first race. Like those people are the farthest from me. And not because of like pace or anything ridiculous like that, just because running to me is like as woven into my DNA as anything else. Started running when I was 12, and I think I was 13 when I started. Like I joined varsity from like middle school. They would like bus us over. So yeah, I mean, I competitively ran cross country and outdoor track in high school, maintained my spot on the basketball team. High hopes to be a New York Liberty shooting guard. Rebecca Lobo was just like up on my wall for many years. And I did play a lot of soccer. And then then I realized that, you know, it just wasn't in the cards. So I pursued running in college, where I ran at Northeastern here in Boston. And I did that for 5 years. And then when I graduated, I kind of like went through what I think a lot of runners go through after college, where it's like, I think I'm done with the track, not good enough to go pro. So it's like, I guess you go to roads and then you just start upping your distance like every year that you're alive until you hit that marathon level. So I've been doing like, I dabble in the marathon. It is certainly not my distance. It is not something I enjoy that much. It's too far. It's too long. I do want to get like back. I've done a little bit of trail running. I would love to do more of it because I think if I'm going to be out there for a while, I might as well be on the trails. Like being on the road for 3 hours is like, oh God. And the training is just like, it's just too time consuming.
Well, Laura, I have a really great idea, and Casey's already going to be shaking her head. So I just took over a trail race in Georgia. With my company called Fast Bananas. It's a running company.
It is the Fast Bananas Trail Race at Serenbee. It's a 5K and a 10K. And when you sign up starting next week for the race, you also get a banana costume to run in if you'd like. So that could be, you know, your trail debut.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. My reintroduction to trail running in a banana costume.
I mean, you don't have to technically run in it, but you could. The option is there. Yeah.
I love that. Why wouldn't you, right?
Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's there, right? Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Snacks are better in trail running anyway.
Yeah.
Much better snacks.
So much better. And it's just, I love the community in trail running. Smaller. So it's just like a little bit, you like tend to see the same people at races. But yeah, I don't know. I like hop in and out. I had a couple kids, didn't race for a long time. And now I am a personality on the internet that people like want to like send to races. So I'm back on the marathon circuit only because like I get paid to do them.
So what
don't,
is it like?
Don't confuse this with like me really being excited about training for these marathons. Like I put it into the universe that I really wanted to go to Paris because I love Paris. And so I'm now like, I'm so grateful for it, but I'm going with ASICS to run the Paris marathon. So it's like, okay, I will run 26 miles in order to go to Paris. I will run 26 miles in order to go to Berlin. I've made like a short list. I don't need to go to Chicago. I used to live there. All good. Don't need to run that. Like, I do not care about completing all the majors. I'd go to Japan. Japan's on the list.
All right. We were just putting it out there. So hopefully they'll hear you and that's good.
Yeah.
Your personality is so good that you get entered. Like, people pay for you to go to races. I think that's amazing.
It's so stupid.
I'm so jealous.
So stupid.
I'm like, I'm funny too.
Totally. You should come.
So, well, you need to teach me your video skills and then maybe.
There we go.
Oh my God. I mean, Laura, seriously, when Casey told me about you a while ago and I just sat there and cried because I related to so many of the videos, obviously, for so many reasons, or I knew the personalities you were talking about.
Right.
And it's so funny. Like it's absolutely
hysterical. Oh,
so what is it like going from, you know, the PT world to all of a sudden everybody wants you to be everywhere and, you know, sending you to Paris to run and pay for it? Like, what is that like?
So this is really fun talking to PTs too, because it's, you get it. So like
we get it.
A little backstory. When I graduated, I threw myself right into the fire and I was a travel PT right out of college, which is something they tell you not to do. Yeah. I highly recommend it though, because it was me and my best friend and we traveled to Chicago, Alaska, San Francisco. We were like all over the place, had such a ball and we had the worst jobs ever. You know, like when you're a traveler, you get kind of thrown into these positions that nobody wants. But because of it, I think it became like really good at just handling pressure, like learning on the go, figuring it out and doing my best not to commit Medicare fraud in the process. And so that's one thing, right? Like I didn't have like your traditional, like go to the office every day. Like it was kind of like every 3 months we were on the go. And then in between we would take breaks and travel. So I've always like historically taken breaks from being a PT. Like I will take like a few months off here and there. And then I helped lead November Project, which is a free workout group and in San Francisco for years. And then I started helping out with the two co-founders in which I would travel almost every Tuesday, Thursday to a different November Project city, like visit with the co-leaders, hang out with them, like take them to dinner and like hear about how it was going there. So I've always kind of had this dual PT, but also like a creative travel job at the same time. And I did that for years. So like, I would be like, sorry, you know, physical therapy agency, like I did like per diem for a while. So I'd be like, okay guys, I need the next 3 weeks off. I'm going to Hong Kong. Then I'm going to Vietnam and then I'm going back to Japan. And they were like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm like, yes, for my other job. So while this is like, that hasn't been like that since obviously pre-pandemic. And then of course, before I had kids, so like say 2018 was like the last real normal year of my life. This is like, this feels like home to me, to like kind of like do a little like normal stuff at home, go on the road for 5 days, you know, come home, like, you know, do some normal stuff. And then like, oh, I get to go to Napa. Okay, sign me up. I'll be there.
<You know? laughs> Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's definitely refreshing. I mean, especially going through the pandemic and being in an acute care hospital through it. This is like such a needed refresher for me because it's hard and it's still hard. I mean, they're still in fully masked up there. So
yeah.
It was,
that must have been really hard. I mean, we had to mask up and do all the things in an outpatient private practice, but it's nothing compared to the hospital and you're not exposed to nearly as much, or, you know, you're not around all the nurses and the doctors. And I mean, I can only imagine the level of stress. So it must be a relief.
It is a relief. And especially for like having kids and being like, I wasn't necessarily like, my kids are not immunocompromised, luckily, but from a very selfish standpoint, I was like, you cannot get COVID because then you're home for 2 weeks, you know? Like, of course I didn't want them to get it in case they had a bad case of it, but it was like, it was more so like, we can't afford you guys to be home for like a month, you know? And it's funny because like I was doing home health before the pandemic hit. Then I was home for, I think, about 6-7 months with my toddler while everyone figured out what they were doing. And then I went back to work in a hospital and people were like, well, that's kind of crazy. Like, why would you do that? But it felt cleaner to me than going to people's homes. Like, I would honestly argue that the hospital was probably a safer place to be than your outpatient clinics. Cause like, for the most part, we knew who had COVID and who didn't have COVID, whereas you guys didn't. And so I don't know. And like when you were going into a COVID room, you were fully suited up, negative pressure room. Like it was pretty rare that any of us were bringing COVID home from the hospital. If we got it, it was usually out in the community.
Wow. Did you, so we have a lot of friends in healthcare. You probably do too. And we all had this routine of we would come home and we would like get totally naked in the garage and, or like, you know, so that you didn't, nothing could touch your family or come in the house and you had different shoes for your office. And then I would literally run from my front door naked up to my shower and shower everything off before I would let anyone touch me.
This is similar. So I live in the city, so there's no garages for the most part. So I would sneak in the side door and I would make sure the toddlers couldn't see me because that's the problem. Mommy, mommy. And then they just like want to grab you and like take in all of your germs. But same thing, our washer dryer is in the basement. So I would go down, strip. I had a towel waiting for me. So
that was smarter.
Yeah. Okay. What are you naked outside your house? What are you doing?
He just was seizing the opportunity to just like, you know, let it fly.
All right, whatever, Laura, that was a little smarter. Go on.
But yeah, I mean, like I was scrubbing my hands, like I was scrubbing him for surgery. I was, you know, just peeling my skin off.
I know. And like, like cracked, like horrible. Everything.
I had terrible maskne. So much acne all around my mouth. Oh, yeah,
like I thought I outgrew this. Like,
what? I was doing all these. My fellow PT friend had these like pads that she would put on her face to help. It was almost like those blackhead removal pads. Yes. Remember how we used to, and she used to like have these barriers. I was like, Ashley, you're amazing. And then we started doing that. We looked insane. But anything to clear up the skin.
Yeah. You can walk around later with that mask.
Totally. Totally.
Oh God, buddy.
Oh, good times. Really, what a time to be alive.
Wonderful times.
Yes. And no wonder you miss PT so much.
I cry about it every night.
I can tell.
But I bet I'll go back. I my license expires next month. I'll renew it. Mom, if you're listening, I will renew it. She's very nervous about me.
Oh, that's really funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's a profession that's always there for us. And I don't know, people are always getting older, so they'll need us. They'll need us.
They'll need us still. That's right. Yeah. I actually lived in Boston for 10 years.
You did?
Yeah. And I lived in Chicago too. So yeah, I ran the Boston Marathon course and the Charles River. And I mean, one of the things I was thinking about was one of your skits was we used to go work out at the MIT track and do our speed workouts there. And it was so intense, but none of us were competitive really. I mean, like I qualified for Boston, but that's it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, nobody's paying me to run. We would go there and we would spend hours and hours. And then we would always meet there and go for runs around. And I just remember like every single day, like that's all I could think about all the time. And I love Boston. That's one of my best memories. Those 10 years are kind of my best memories of running because just like the places you get to run and the people you run into.
It's so small that like I live on the outside of Cambridge, but even that, like it takes me 3 miles and then I'm like in the thick of Boston. It's so small. Like you can kind of like cover so much ground. I like it A, because it's flat, but also it's like coming from San Francisco. It's like, ooh, this is nice. But you can like see a lot in a short amount of mileage. And so the miles tend to go by faster for me here. And I don't know if that's just because I have probably logged, I don't even know how many thousands of miles on the Charles at this point, because I did 6 years of school here and then now, but yeah, it's just like, I know every little turn and yeah.
I know. And all the people that are hanging out in the different spots and what time they're going to be there and all the obsessive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Totally.
And it is so much flatter and you don't realize it when you live there. But when I moved to Atlanta is when I first qualified for Boston. Because the because it was so much flatter in Boston.
Wait, it's so much flatter in Boston, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it was, it's yeah. So I didn't really have the training I needed until I left.
I mean, I joke all the time that Boston's below sea level, but like it kind of is. Like, like I can't even go to like 500 feet above sea level. And I'm like,
the air is so thin up here.
The air is so thin. These mountains are so tall. It's pathetic. It is so pathetic. Like my runs are hysterical. I look at the data and it's like you gain 12 feet of elevation gain over like 8 miles. I'm like, how? That's like 1 foot a mile. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you can't run under 200 feet of gain here in Atlanta. It's impossible.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Unless you run by the river, I guess, but yeah, man,
That's good. It's better for everything to have hills. It's better for injury prevention. It's better for everything, but I don't know. It's flat. What can I say? There's one hill in the whole city and everyone works out on it.
No, I know I did too. Oh, that's so funny.
So speaking of us taking ourselves seriously and running up the only hill in the city, something Kate and I talk about a lot on the podcast and a lot of our conversations are sort of directed towards changing this like running culture we have of like taking ourselves too seriously to more of a healthier one. And I kind of noticed that theme in your skits as well. And like, do you have a message you're trying to get across or you're just like, this will be funny. This is comedic value for me.
It's more the latter, but I don't have like a specific, someone's like, what's your ethos? And I'm working on it. I'm trying to figure that out.
It's always evolving, right?
But it's always evolving. And I do want to have like, obviously a set of moral guidelines to help me. But when it comes to like my message, I wouldn't say that I necessarily have one that I'm trying to sell or get across, but I think it's because at this juncture of my life, like I've already done the competitive world and I love the competitive world. So like, while people are like, oh yeah, like we can dress in a banana costume and go run a trail race. Like that's so fun. And that will bring people to a race and eliminate, like take down this intimidation wall, which is like a barrier for entry for some people, which yeah. is awesome. For me, I get on a starting line and I will race no matter how out of shape I am. I did the Falmouth Road Race this summer on zero training. And I'm talking about like, I was maybe running one day a week for months because I was kind of having some aches and pains. And I've never died so bad in a race because I went out in like 7 minute miles. Like, Laura, you are in shape for a 9 minute mile and you are running a 7 minute mile on a 100-degree day in the sun. Anyways, just that was like a perfect example of like, you can't take the competitiveness out of me. And we, like, I went to Boston Grand Prix at the new New Balance track here in Boston. Yeah. is beautiful. Uh-huh. And
yeah, it looks awesome.
Like, I sit there and I like salivate over competition. Like, I love watching the pros. I love it. But you know, we're not all pros.
What? Dang it.
I know this is hard. Really hard for some people to hear. I think that might be the end joke is you're not a pro.
I mean, taking Morton sure gels doesn't make you a pro.
No. And I think that having goals and like going out and doing workouts and getting faster is awesome. And it's something that I encourage people to do. But at the end of the day, we're all just out here running around. We're all just running around.
I watched that today.
Running around. And we're taking these gels. We're taking these $5 gels. We're like, gotta pack my gels. And like, I do it.
I used to pin all my gels to my shorts.
Oh, man. They were like, I know this is a podcast, so people can't see me, but I'm flopping around.
Oh my gosh.
Like a fish out of water.
Yeah. It's like total fish out of water. Like, I can't fly bird vibes.
How do you not just die laughing the entire time?
And when I'm making the videos?
Yeah.
Well, that last one you could see, I could not hold it together. I was trying to keep a straight face, and the we're running around thing just gets, it makes me laugh every time. And it's from the perspective of like, if you were an alien and you were looking down on Earth and you were watching these humans and like observing them, we look like a bunch of fools. What are we doing? And it's okay. This is also like what gets me. If you're going to go run around outside and like do like a little loop and come back and you do that whole thing and you don't smile once, what are you running around for? Right?
Yes. No, that's true.
What are you running around? If that's not making you smile. We talk all the time, myself included, mental health, clearing my brain, clearing my thoughts. Like, running is so, so good for that. And it's a tool that we use, but we're taking it too seriously. Like, you're just adding another thing to your mental health load.
Yes.
If it's causing you stress because your average mile pace wasn't very fast. And now you're uploading it to Strava and you're making excuses on Strava because your mileage isn't high enough. And what if Sam sees this and Sam's going to be like, oh man, she's really falling off. She's falling off.
Nobody cares.
Sam's not going to ask me out on a date and it's over.
God damn it, Sam.
Too slow. Sam. Oh God. So, I'm just wondering about your home life a little bit because, you know, I have a lot of ideas and I do love crazy things in terms of business and like always want to create something new. And it's always running related, by the way.
Okay.
Like Fast Bananas is my last one. And like my husband walks into the room and he looks at me and he just shakes his head and walks away. And like last week we had 600 banana costumes sent to my house.
Yep. This sounds familiar.
And he was like, looked at me, and then just started moving them very nicely off the front porch so it didn't look trashy. Like, that's like my world because, and yes. Thank God he's like that because I don't think I would be able to survive any other way. But like, what is it like in your house?
Yeah, similar. It not banana costumes, but like, so I met my husband at Harvard Stadium at November Project, and his mom was there for like that workout. And they like got in the car after. I was wildly hungover. I was not charming. I think I threw up in a trash can. And they did not see that. And
she is the one.
They got into the car after, and he goes, "What do you think of Laura?" I forget what she said at that point, but basically when he was like, then we started dating and we got engaged a couple of years later, and his mom goes, "Your life will never be boring." And like, that is kind of sums it up, right? Like, oh, you're going to propose, like, happy for you. Like, your life will never be boring. And that's kind of like this room in here used to be like 5 different colors, and it was a nursery. And then one day my husband came home and I was like, "We're painting." And I moved all the furniture out and I was like, "It's my office now." And he was like, okay, I'll go get the paintbrushes." And it's not because he's a pushover. It's just like, he's used to it. And like, if he didn't want it to be an office, he would have stood up for himself, but he can see my eyes, and I'm sure yours is the same. Like, I'll be sitting there and I'll kind of get this glazed over look, and then I'll look around. So we live in 1200 square feet. It's not huge. That's by any means. And so I'm like, all right. Like, I'm always kind of reinventing space because I want more space, be creative about how we use our space. And so I'm always like, okay, if we move the couch over there, and then we rotate the bookshelf. And he's like, oh God, what are you doing? What are you doing in your brain? So that's just like one example. And then when it comes to this type of stuff, I'm getting props all the time. I try my hardest to get all my props at thrift stores and then like resell them, you know, because like, yeah, I don't need them after I use them. This is like a weird part of being an influencer, is you get a lot of stuff just sent to you. A lot of running shoes. I have a lot of running shoes. If anyone is a size 12 women, not many of us out there.
You have 12?
Damn, girl.
Your feet are 12.
Wow.
Mine are 11.
10 and a half. And then I had one kid and then two kids, and it grew each time.
Oh, see, I had one kid and mine was 10 and a half and it went to 11.
Yeah. Well, don't have the second. Your foot's going to go up to a 12. It's actually an 11 and a half, but most brands either don't make it or they're a little too narrow. So I just size up.
Wow.
I know. Well, 12.
You don't want black toenails though.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8". How tall
are
you?
So you're like me. Like, I'm 5'9". We should not have 11 size feet.
No, not at all.
So my sisters are 6 foot and they're in nines. And I'm like, what the hell? You have an appropriate ratio.
No, that's a bad foot gene. That's the bad foot gene.
This is my,
yeah, but maybe it gives us better levers, right? So it's easier to store elastic.
I don't know. I have off. Such a bad heel strike. Like, it's like, it like claps twice each foot. That's how long my foot is. Like my midfoot and then the forefoot.
Like a flipper.
See, I should be a running PT.
Yeah, no.
Be like, it's fine. I heel strike. It's totally cool.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Just let us know and we'll interview you.
Yeah. Well, anyone with a size 12 women's foot, boy, do I have shoes for you. I know. I just need to bring them to like the local high school or whatever and donate them, but I've just been lazy.
Donate them to the Giants.
To the Giants. I mean, a lot of these shoes are either unisex or men's because still brands aren't making 12 women. So there'll definitely be some high school boys that can fit into it. Yeah.
All right. So if anyone emails us and wants the 12 shoes, I'll let you.
Okay. I'm only, but actually away. I'm changing my offer. Only if you're like a high school coach.
Oh, coach. Okay. Now it's very
narrow. I don't need to give them out to people who can buy their own shoes, you know?
I think that's nice. Yeah. That's true. Okay.
That's so why I've like, but people are like, just put it up online, like, or like on Instagram and be like, if you live in Boston, you can come pick them up, which is like, all good. Like, I could do that. But at the same time, I think even people who respond to that probably could buy their own shoes. Like
100%.
I should bring them to the people who might not be able to. So,
yeah, I wonder if there's a Back on Your Feet. You know, Back on My Feet is an organization.
Yes.
That might be a good one.
That is a great one. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I am making this my resolution for the week. Figure this out.
This February resolution.
Yes.
That's right. So, what is the funniest thing that you've sent?
That I've been sent, like,
yeah, just like randomly shows up at your door and you're like, what is
well, that? Okay. People do need to ask for my address. So like, oh, I do usually that's approve true. Of, I mean, I've gotten some really nice things. Like, got this candle from, it's called Trailhead from Knoxville, Tennessee. Like they sent me a couple beautiful candles, like stuff like that. But for the most part, I don't say yes unless it's something that like I would love or that I would think about promoting in the future. But like, I'm someone who's like, I have a lot of climate anxiety, like probably more than anything else. I have climate anxiety. Okay. And so when I think about like needless products or even just like getting, like, I love getting things, like, of course, like I'm human. And so I love like gifts, but if it's something I truly don't need, I like have to say no to it. And so, and then I think about like, okay. And then it's going to take a plane and then a bus and then a car to get to me. And then is that
and
really
no,
work?
Sam, I am no, I will not take your green eggs and ham.
Totally. So like, I'm like, are you local? Or, I mean, obviously these shoe brands, some are better than others. And I'm not going to be the perfect climate advocate out there, but I do try. And so when it comes to like needless stuff, also we live in a small house, which is, I love because if something comes in, something's got to go out. And so everything that comes in, I have to like, be like, okay, is this worth it? And then like what's going out in the process. So
yeah, I really live in a small space as well. And it's like, you leave like one cup out and you're like, oh, the house is a mess. Oh, it's a mess.
It's a mess. Whatever. You live in our clinic and you sleep in your house. She does her laundry. She does her laundry at the clinic. She works out at the clinic.
Kate is not wrong. Yeah. Well, if you could like have access to a nice washer and dryer instead of a laundry center where who knows what's been those washer and dryers, I mean, you would too, right? I mean, I have to like clean out all the dog hair out of her.
That you didn't need to tell me though. Okay.
I clean it. That's the point.
Oh my God. Laura, where do you come up with your ideas for your skits?
It's kind of a combo. It's not just me. I have a couple friends who will like send me ideas. I have one friend who I've been able to pay, which is really nice that like, I can like sit down and like write out concepts with him. And, or if I'm getting like a paid gig through a brand and I'll be like, okay, this is their idea. How can we make it funnier? I want to do more of that because I can take it probably to like a B minus. And when you bring in other people, you get to the A. And so they take out all your shitty jokes. They're like, that's just not that funny. And I mean, I still put shit up on the internet that I'm like, this is just not that funny. But like, this is how predictable runners are. Even if it's not that funny, people will be like, that's me. Like if it's relatable, that's almost more important than it actually having A+ jokes in it. Yeah. So I'm like, this is kind of cheesy. This is like not even that unique or original, but then it like goes viral and I'm like, damn it.
Not that one.
One, guys.
Not I didn't that want one. To go viral.
I should put in the caption, you guys are allowed to send this one viral. You're allowed to. This one I'm proud of. This one has good jokes in it. Okay.
How did you start doing this or why?
I don't know.
That's a good answer. I like it.
My friend Sasha came out to visit and I was like, we were just on a run and we were talking about, I was doing like legacy videos. And so I would interview people all about their life. And so I had all the camera gear and learned how to use it all. I was like, you know, I want to enter the run space. And I started making these short films about friends, which I feel bad because I never finished them. And they're actually pretty good, but they were heavy. Like one of them was about being a pediatric physician at Boston Children's Hospital during the pandemic and also having kids at home. One was about mental health and the importance of running and yoga. And so like they were much more serious topics. They were not comedy at all. And I was making them kind of in the same style, I guess, as a lot of like the beautiful branded run videos that you see, especially when they highlight pros or like cool stories to tell. Yeah. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with those. Those are beautifully done. And they were done more like they were done better than mine because these videographers are more talented than I am. And so I was kind of just like falling short, at least from like my perspective, and also being like, I don't think that this is like my perspective or point of view or voice. Like these are like good, great stories to tell, but like, I don't know that I'm doing justice to them. And she was like, well, you're not really a serious person. I was like, touche.
I'm just going to be honest here.
Like, why don't you just like get in front of the camera and do comedy? And I was like, no way. Like, I would have to be on the camera. My friends are all going to make fun of me, and they do. And my family's going to make fun of me, and they do. And I was like, well, this is going to be so mortifying. But then I was like, well, maybe I can make a couple. So I did two, and they did well. And I was like, oh, this actually isn't that embarrassing. So I just kept going. And my husband wasn't that embarrassed. So he was allowed to veto it. I think what helps is that it's just about running. It's not about our life. It's not about my kids. It's not about my husband. You know, like he's not involved. And
right.
It's not even about like living in Boston. Like there's nothing other than running. That's the common thread. And running is just so G-rated. So it's like, yeah. I don't know. It's cheesy. It's a little silly, but it's not like mortifying, you know?
Right. No.
There are people who put some crazy stuff out there. They're like, they put their whole lives out there. They put,
yes.
There's no privacy anymore.
True. Right. Very yeah. True.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whereas no, this good. Is just a hobby. So yeah.
Well, it looks like a lot of fun. So that's good.
Yeah, it is fun. It is a good
time. Does it keep you really busy all day? I mean, I know you're traveling a lot now. So what is like a week schedule for you like?
Oh man, that's so funny that you asked, because yesterday I was like laughing out loud, walking down the street, thinking about me doing a day in the life and how absurd that would be.
I would love to hear it. Come on.
Well, I'll do it. I'll do it eventually. Obviously every day is different. And some days it's like meeting after meeting after meeting. I try and do it that way. So that like some days I'm just sitting at my computer talking to different brands about projects. And then some days I have nothing on the schedule. Sarah Caney runs those Rise Run retreats in the Northeast. And she taught me something that's been so valuable, which is don't open your email till 10 a.m. And sometimes I push it to 11 or 12. And I understand most jobs can't do that, but in a creative role, it's like your mornings are so sacred. So and that's when I'm my most creative. And so the kids go away. the kids leave the house at 8 a.m. And I basically sit down with like a pad and paper and write and try and come up with a script or whatever it is that I'm working on that day, maybe go out into the woods and film something. And I try and do that all before I even open my email, because then you open your email and then you spiral, it's a spiral death into the computer. Yeah, and yep. So that's been really valuable. Some days yesterday I had like a really foggy, weird day and I don't have anything that's like really pressing on. I just turned in 4 videos last week. So I'm kind of just chilling. And so I wandered around Cambridge, and that's why I was thinking about doing a life in the day, because people would be like, what? Like I spent like a lot of time wandering around listening to podcasts, like thinking about running.
I do that too.
Honestly, I do that too, Laura. And I also don't usually check my email or engage in work until 10, if I can help it, except for I see patients like 1.5 days a week. So those days I might get up earlier, but I spend a lot of my mornings like being creative and thinking and all of that same thing.
Oh, man, and it's so good. It's so good. And I've gotten into I was writing all my stuff like on my phone or on the computer, and I've returned to the notebook, and it's been game changing. Yeah. Like I can just sit, like I put on a record. I feel real emo and hipster, and I light a couple of candles from Knoxville, Tennessee. And I just like write, and most of it is shit and doesn't go anywhere, but at least it's like starts the day in a better way than just kind of like a dead end. But I probably film stuff like 2 or 3 days a week, and that doesn't take long. It's the script writing that takes a while. And yeah. So it's kind of like that the ideas. And then like the ones where I have a lot of costume changes, like, oh my God. So like, that's kind of like assembling those and like figuring that out.
Are you filming it by yourself? Is it just you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I hire my friend Chris to do the videography if I want it to be like an on the run. Like I did a few videos for Brooks where I was like, I want to be running, so come with me. But for the most part, it's me and a tripod.
Oh, that's
which is
amazing.
Why I so desperately want a team on like boots on the ground, because okay. So I just filmed something for a brand that will be out probably in a couple weeks. And one of the scenes was in a grocery store. And like, this is not like they didn't have the concept. I wrote everything. And I was like, I have to include this scene. This is a deal breaker for this whole skit. I have to run through a grocery store. And I don't even know if I got the video. I was thinking about doing a selfie video of me sitting in the parking lot at the grocery store, trying to pump myself up to go in there and do this. And I couldn't do it. I went home. I couldn't do it. It just seemed too crowded. So then I asked my neighbor, and I was like, listen, I just need you to come into the grocery store and hold the camera, and I'll have more bravery because you're there. She was awesome. We went to like the last aisle, so no one could see us. I think only 3 or 4 people saw us. I mean, the security cameras definitely saw us, but man, like that, any of the stuff in public, I'm not comfortable. It's hard. It's really hard. That's why a lot of the skits are done in my house. Like I can do that all day, but like going out, even in the woods, like there's people hiking. I live in the city, so it's not like I'm in the woods by myself. There's always people walking the dogs.
Yeah.
And I just stand there and like pretend I'm bird watching.
do you bring binoculars?
Like, yeah, I should.
I just like stop filming. You're like,
towards, and I'm like, did you see the owl? Yeah, there's an owl up there.
Do you see that warbler? Do you hear it? Do you see it?
Do you see it? Oh, it's gone. Sorry.
You totally missed it.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm ever in the Boston area, I will come film for you, Laura. Yeah. I have no shame about chasing you around with a camera.
I mean, my friends have jobs. They got lives. Like I try like during the day, I'm like, oh, I could really use someone to just hold this camera, but it's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like people are working, like no one's available. So, oh man.
Oh yeah. That's really funny. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure. Hopefully you get a team soon. That'll be, and it'll make it fun too.
So much more fun. Yeah. That doing this solo is like not nearly as fun. Yeah.
No, it's gotta be fun. Hard. Do you find that, like, are you still having as much fun with it now as you were before, now that you have almost more responsibility? I mean, it's kind of a funny way to frame it, but
yeah. I am. I genuinely just don't give a shit.
It makes everything
so
better.
Like that comes with the privilege of 2 things. A, I have a husband who has a good job, and B, I have a profession I can fall back on. So like, that's why, like when kids are like, I don't want to go to college, I want to be a TikToker, I'm like all for it, but like maybe get something to back up when your ticks stop.
Talking.
Because like that's where it pains me to like kind of watch these creators stress about, like, remember when the internet went down or Instagram went down for the day and everyone was like really stressed out, and people were like, oh, those stupid influencers. But it's like those people rely heavily on every view and every like and every comment, and like that is like their self-worth but also their income. Mm-hmm. And I've been making really good money, like better than being a physical therapist. And I take the minimum amount of jobs because I'm not trying to overload. The reason I'm doing this is to have time. The reason I'm doing this is so that when my kids' daycare calls and they're like, Julian's been pooping a lot, you got to come get them, I can go get them, you know, like yeah. I can push my walk in the woods to the next day. that's why I'm doing it. And so other than the fact that it's fun, but like, I don't know, this whole, like I'm not someone who grinds when it comes to work. Like I used to when I was younger, but this is why I'm so happy that I'm old. Like I'm 36 and that's old in this realm of the universe. And so, but I think it's such a blessing, right? Because I'm like, oh, that video kind of tanked, but oh, well, I'm going to start doing live events and those are starting to give me a little bit of imposter syndrome and, like nerves, the stuff that I post online, I'm like, whatever. And to be honest, I don't really look at it after the first, like I'll look at it for the first few hours to see how it's doing, but I don't really read comments or anything after that because also usually ends up being nasty comments. But no, I am starting to do like more like panels and like I want to do like a little bit of stand up, like whether it be like a warming up the crowd, 10-minute intro type deal. I'm working that out now and it's like really terrifying, but exciting, but terrifying, you know? So oh,
that's my dream. If I was,
oh, really?
Enough, oh, I want to, yeah. If I could do stand up, I would.
Oh, come join me.
No, okay. No. Absolutely.
I'm poaching her.
You guys please. Can never talk again.
Please.
Never again. No,
I got really into the art of stand up during the pandemic because I went through all of the comedy specials on Netflix and I got like, I was like very entertained obviously by how hilarious they were, but also how much of like a creative art it is. And like being able to like do a little bit of like acting and different voices and like selling the punchlines and stuff like that. So I just got really into it.
Oh man. I think it's so fascinating and watch. And like, I listen to so many podcasts that like, when people and comedians talk about their process and how they get to where they are. I mean, I don't have any like outlandish goals to be like this professional stand-up that's traveling the world, but I like do want to be good at it. Like if I do it in front, like I'm doing a little bit at the Napa Marathon, I'm going to do like a 10-minute set and like, I don't want to suck. So I'm just trying to figure that out.
Well, hey, we're doing a live podcast at the Public Marathon next week, so we can't pay you, but you can always fly down and be part of it for practice.
For practice, maybe.
You're like, no.
It's hard to, it's any spontaneity is kind of gone from my life after having two kids. It's like so hard to like, I like 25, 28, 30 year old me would have been like, okay, cool. I'll be there. But now it's like,
It is different. I mean, I have an 8-year old and, yes, yeah. There are a lot of things that you have to, like today was a Valentine's Day party and I didn't realize, and it's right now at the school. And I'm like, God, worst mom ever. Like I didn't show up. But then my husband, who's wonderful, said, Kate, you can't go to every single thing. Like that's unreasonable. And I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, they had a pancake breakfast this morning at my kid's school and like all the adults were invited. And I would say maybe 10% were there. So you're good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was able to make it, but like, and I'm not rubbing that in your face.
Sure, Laura. Like, I'll remember that. Forever.
I love my kid but enough to make
no
it.
No one else was there.
I am obviously the better mom here. So I'm not trying to tell you anything.
It very much is a competition and I am winning.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Laura, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's nice to laugh a lot on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we considering I was in a horrible laughter. Mood at the start. Kate can attest I was in a horrible mood.
She was a bit grumpy before you came on, so this is great for all of us.
It's been great. Yeah, really good. Really
good. Everyone's benefiting, especially the patients that you're going to see at some point in this week. Right. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Exactly. They can all thank you for her positive mental health.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. I don't think I've laughed this hard on any podcast.
Oh, yes. Really?
That's yeah. Great.
Boom.
It's probably because we understand at least your PT background or something. I don't know.
And the running ridiculousness.
Yeah. The kindred spirits. Yeah.
It's true. I mean, we do it every single day. Like almost, I'd say 90% of our patients are runners. So everything, like not only do we function
guys,
that
how
way.
How do you stand that? I went into PT being like, I am going to be an athletic, I'm going to be the Patriots physical therapist. And I made it, I think maybe 6 months. And I was like, no, man, athletes are the worst. At Northeastern, you have co-ops. And so we did, after our second year, I did an acute care co-op in San Diego, and I worked in the burn, like with wound care. And I was like, Ooh. Oh, this is dope. I fainted a couple times, but once I got over that, I was like, oh, this is cool. And like acute care, oh, this is cool. Like I'm actually helping people. I was like, these stupid athletes, they're so high maintenance.
Oh man. Yeah, but it's not easy. It's actually harder than I ever thought it was going to be, but I do love it because nobody else understands our clients, our athletes, but we do. And so it's kind of that first, I don't know. It's the first time they're seen. So, and that I think makes a huge difference. So
definitely.
Yeah, we love it. So, all right. Well, we will see you later, and we can't wait to see your next videos and all the stuff that you come up with, and hopefully some of your live shows coming up.
Cool. Well, I hope to bump into you out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you so much for listening today. We are so happy that you're here. If you enjoyed this conversation, share it with a friend. Even better, share it on social media, because sharing is caring. And the more people we can reach, the better.
Another way you can help us out is by leaving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. So give us those 5 stars and tell us how awesome we are. Really, we love to hear how awesome we are. To support our work financially, you can also join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/morethanmiles, where for a few dollars a month, you can help us keep the show going and growing.
This season is sponsored by Fast Bananas. Why buy multiple subscriptions made for everyone when you can have one specifically crafted for runners? Fast Bananas has online yoga classes, strength training programs, meditations, recipes, communities to ask questions, and so much more. Check out Fast Bananas at fastbananas.com or follow them on Instagram @fastbananasrun.
Don't forget that training is so much more than miles.